Hello, this is Dee, the Vermilion County News for August 19th, 2019. We'll begin our recording today with the front page story entitled, Danville Dad Catches Baby During Birth. This is by Carol Rem, Danville. A Danville baby boy was in a hurry to make his arrival Thursday morning, with his dad literally catching him in a hospital parking lot. Caleb Stephenson and his wife Stephanie welcomed Reese Wally Stephenson at 8:25 a.m. Thursday in the parking lot of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Reese, who weighed 5 pounds 11 ounces, has a big sister, Tinley Nora, too. Stephenson said his wife called him Thursday morning, shortly after he arrived at work at Westville Junior High School, where he is a teacher's aide. She called me at 7:10 to come home because she thought it was time, he said. That came as a bit of a surprise, since his wife's due date wasn't until August 24th. Stevenson recalled that when his daughter, Tinley, was born, a couple years ago, his wife was in labor 12 hours and pushed for another 5. The couple made the trek to Urbana on Interstate 74, thinking they had plenty of time. We made it there in 45 minutes, and she thought she was going to be admitted to the hospital, he said. We thought we had more time. But as soon as Stephenson pulled into the hospital parking lot, Reese had a different pain. My wife said, the head's out and the baby's coming out. He said I was going to run to the medical center to get someone. But she said, no, you have to stay and catch him. When asked if he had any medical training to prepare him to deliver a baby, Stephenson replied, I sure don't. In 5 or 10 seconds, he shot right out and I caught him, he said. I handed the baby to her and sprinted inside the hospital. 8 or 9 nurses came outside and they put her on a gurney with the baby on her chest. He said Stephanie and Reese were released the next day from the medical center and both doing well. We're home now and everyone's healthy, he said. We're grateful for everything. Stephenson said he's looking forward to telling Reese about his special delivery when he gets older. Reese's paternal grandparents are Brad and Gina Stephenson of Alvin, and his maternal grandparents are Rich and Darlene Miller of Danville. Our next article is entitled, Back from the Brink, Service Dogs Give Vets a Helping Paw, by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. Emily Close of Champaign didn't plan on attending her 40th high school reunion last fall, but a friend told her, just go and expect something great to happen. She did, and that simple act sent off a chain reaction from California to Danville, changing the life of an area veteran. It was serendipitous, Close said. It's a ridiculous and crazy story. Thanks to her talking about Mission K-9 Warrior, classmate Carl Chow made a donation of $5,000. Which was matched by his employer, to buy and train a service dog. That dog went to Sean Connor, a Marine, who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. I think the dog pulled Sean back from the brink, Close said. Connor, 36, was in Operation Phantom Fury, which was the major push for the insurgent stronghold of Fallujah. To date, it was the bloodiest battle of the Iraq War. He said, having George, a part wolfhound, by his side has made a big difference. My quality of life has increased drastically because of all the care and passion that everyone involved devotes to this program, he said. Mission K-9 Warrior is administered by the Georgetown American Legion Dornblaster Post 203. 8 dogs have been paired with veterans since David Hughes founded the program in 2017. The name of the program is trademarked and unique among American Legions across the country. Close Chow Encounter. The tragedy of veterans with PTSD committing suicide hits home for Close. Her husband Jim Washburn, a Vietnam veteran who was in the Air Force, took his life on September 26, 2012. After her husband died, Close wondered what she could do to honor him, and learned about Mission K-9 Warrior. Because her husband was a big dog lover, she and her family launched the Jim Washburn Living Legacy Service Dog Fund in 2017. Connor is the second recipient of a dog through that fund. Last September, Close decided to attend her Rich Central High School reunion in Olympia Fields. Also attending was Chow, a mechanical engineer with Hewlett-Packard Labs in California. The two also had attended the University of Illinois, but Close said they hadn't seen each other in 30 years. Close told him about her husband's death and gave him an article to read about Mission K-9 Warrior. Upon his return to Fremont, California, he and his wife, Joanne, decided to make a $5,000 donation toward a service dog. He also took advantage of Hewlett-Packard's plan to match an employee's contribution to a charity up to $5,000. That added up to $10,000, which is the cost to find, buy, train, and maintain one service dog. It took a while for the funds to go through, Close said, adding it was a five-month odyssey to get the matching funds. They had to go through American Legion Charities Incorporated, and the deal was finalized in February. Chow, who likes to stay in the background, said, "I'm glad to help out if this motivates someone else to help." Chow had researched Mission K-9 Warrior and decided it was a worthy cause, and is pleased that the program is doing so well. He's also a dog lover and has an 11-year-old mixed breed. Connor's story. Connor received his dog George during a graduation ceremony in April at Paw a Day Inn K-9 Suites in Tilton. Owner Tony Pyatt trains dogs through his Midwest Professional K-9 Services. A native of Tuscola, Connor spent 4 years, 2001 to 2005, in the infantry with the Marine Corps and was deployed to Iraq. After service, he returned to Tuscola and attended college. Since graduating in 2008, he has struggled to maintain steady employment and is constantly haunted by PTSD issues. A few years ago, Connor adopted a dog who had been abused. "We were inseparable. We would both lay awake at night and suffered from nightmares," he recalled. "She quickly became my battle buddy, but I didn't know how much she helped me until she became ill herself. After many veterinary visits and referrals, she was diagnosed with Cushing's disease, and all I could do was watch as another best friend died." After a time, he decided to look into the process of getting a service dog. The only places he could find were in Chicago or Southern Illinois. By then, he had secured employment with the Veterans of Foreign Wars as an assistant department service officer. "Basically, I work with and help veterans, many of whom share similar experiences with me." Connor then heard a radio commercial requesting donations to a fund that helps veterans. That month, funds were going to the Georgetown American Legion and Mission K-9 Warrior. Connor found an application on the website and was called to an interview within 2 days. At the time, there was a dog in training, and Connor was told he would be paired with the dog when he reached a certain point in his training. "I met with the trainer, Carolyn Daniel, and we talked about my triggers or what causes me to react adversely," he said. "This was difficult for me to discuss, but necessary as she needed to teach the dog what to react to." After meeting with Daniel a few times, Connor got to meet George, Caring Canine. George is a very loving and caring dog. Training with George seemed natural from the beginning. We got along very well, he said. After the training was complete between George and myself, I got to take him home, and he's been by my side most of the time since then. When they are in crowded areas, George pushes up against Connor as if to say, "It's okay." When I'm at home and if I can sleep, he wakes me up when I have nightmares. In public, Connor has had some issues with people asking if he's actually a service dog. "I believe this is because most people do not know the difference between service dogs, comfort dogs, and therapy dogs," he said. "They're all extremely different, and George is an ADA recognized service dog, able to go almost anywhere. He is a very well-behaved and very well-trained animal. I have a huge respect for the entire program and the team that Dave Hughes has brought together between the American Legion, Mission K-9 Warrior, and Midwest Professional K-9 Services." Connor said he has passed out David Hughes's business card to many veterans with similar backgrounds. Connor also said, "I want to give a special thank you to the people that donated to make this possible, especially Close, who donated in honor of her late husband." Growing problem. David Hughes, service officer with Post 203 and a Coast Guard veteran, founded Mission Canine Warrior in 2017 when he learned the average rate of suicide among veterans nationally is about 22 a day. "I think there's a great need out there," Hughes said. "A lot of veterans are troubled with PTSD, but they think it makes them appear weak to admit it. Eventually, it can eat away at you," he said, adding he hopes veterans take advantage of programs such as at the VA to get the help they need. The cost of buying and training a service dog has gone up to $10,000 from $7,500. "That's still a discount," Hughes said, "as it can cost up to $40,000 in some places for boarding, training, veterinary care, and other services." As for the veterans who have received the dogs, Hughes said, "everybody seems to be doing well. The dogs have been a real blessing for them." Here's a follow-up to that article entitled "Post 203's Canine Program Wins an Award" by Mary Wyckoff, Georgetown. The American Legion Department of Illinois recognizes what a difference the Mission Canine Warrior program is making in the lives of veterans. Georgetown Post 203 received the Hall of Fame Award for Community Service during the state convention last month. "It was a proud day for us," Commander Ron Sarge Torbett said. Three veterans with their service dogs were present. The Post received a bronze plaque, and one was added to the Hall of Fame in Bloomington. Just last month, the Post learned that the name Mission Canine Warrior Program had received a trademark. That means no organization can use that name. Also, Torbett said, to his knowledge, no other legion in the country has a program like this. Other legions might donate to service dog projects, but he said, "we're the only one who has dedicated itself to strictly buying and training service dogs." Torbett said he goes to the state headquarters in Bloomington periodically and notices the Hall of Fame. On one visit, he said, "I'd like to see my guys on the wall." He did some research and mentioned the canine program to Annette Rao, the 18th District Commander with the Department of Illinois. She nominated Post 203 for the award. Torbett had to go before a board and send in photos of the dogs, as well as submit other information. At the ceremony, Commander Michael Carter presented the award. "The Community Service Award is the highest one presented by the state to a post," Torbett said. "I'm very proud of these guys," he said. "There won't be any stopping us. This is a forever program." Torbett said it gives him great pride to have achieved this award. However, it doesn't come close to the daily award of seeing how the dogs have helped the veterans who have given so much in defense of freedom. And now we'll turn to a little sports. Situation surreal as the speakers keep rolling. Next World Series game is set for Monday evening by Colin Likas, Shelby, North Carolina. Danville Post 210 Senior League Baseball holds a 1-in-4 chance of winning the American Legion World Series this week. Coach Alan Shepard's thoughts on that reality? "It's surreal, to be honest with you," Shepard said. "Just couldn't be prouder of them." The speakers' offense ramped up over the final two innings of Sunday's last pool play game, lifting Post 210 to a 7-5 victory over Festus, Missouri, Post 253, and giving Shepherd's crew a spot in the tournament semifinals. The first ever World Series appearance for the speakers, 38-9-1, will continue Monday with a 7 p.m. matchup versus either Asheboro, North Carolina, Post 45, or Idaho Falls, Idaho, Post 56. That's the case because Post 210 recorded a 3-run sixth inning and a 4-tally seventh against Post 253, 37-14, keyed by 3 hits from Chase Rademacher and 2 from Chase Vinson. In Shepard's mind, a rare at-bat from Dalton Dalby was ultimately the catalyst. Dalby led off the seventh with a single and scored what was then the go-ahead run at 4-3. It was a decision the coaches and I made, and he comes through for us, Shepherd said. He got on, which obviously gets the dugout fired up. Shepherd said he knew 3 runs wasn't enough to beat us, which is all post 253 mustered through 6 frames against Vincent and Dalby until tagging Dalby for a pair of markers in the 7th. The contest fittingly ended with Vincent performing an athletic stretch while holding a foot on the first base bag, snaring a Logan Spicer throw from third to leave 2 post 253 runners stranded. They like to give us a heart attack and keep us on our toes, Shepherd said. No post 253 very well and knew that if we gave them an inch, they'd take a foot. Mason Ecker will be the pitcher tasked with slowing the speaker's next foe and trying to lift them to a championship game berth. I'm hoping the come from behind gets us going a little bit, Shepherd said. At the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, these guys have exceeded so many expectations and made the whole community proud. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is Norma Jean Castagna, Nee Wallace, 87, of Crown Point, Indiana, formerly of Merrillville, Indiana, and Ridge Farm, Illinois, passed away August 14th. Visitation will be 4 to 8 p.m. today at Burns Funeral Home, 10101 Broadway, Crown Point, Indiana. Funeral at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 20th, at Burns. Interment, Chapel Lawn Memorial Gardens, Schererville, Indiana. Stanley T. Golzinski, 78, of Ridge Farm, passed away at 6:03 p.m. Wednesday, August 14th, at his home. As were his wishes, Stanley will be accorded cremation rites, and a private graveside service for family will be at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. James Jim Ronald Gasper passed away at 1:13 a.m. August 13th at OSF Hospital in Danville, surrounded by his children and wife of 33 years. A private celebration of Jim's life will be August 24th. Jim was cremated and his ashes were distributed amongst his children, with the remainder being buried at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Gwendolyn G. Brown, 79, of Hoopston, passed away at 3:30 p.m. Friday, August 17th at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, August 20th at Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. Memorials or condolences may be shared with the family on her Everlasting Memorial page at www.blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Casey Douglas Smothers, 61, of Danville, passed away with family by his side Wednesday, August 14th at Carl Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life service will be held today at 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with a cremation to follow. There will be a gathering for family and friends at the American Legion Post 210 immediately following the funeral service. Officiating will be Ramey Gordon. Visitation was held on Sunday, August 18th, at the funeral home. Penny S. Miller, 69, of Tilton, passed away at 7:54 p.m. Wednesday, August 14th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Memorial service 6 p.m. today, Monday, August 19th, at Rubison Chapel in Catlin, with Wade Martin officiating. Visitation 5 to 6 p.m. today, 1 hour prior to the service at Robinson Chapel. Memorials may be made to the charity of the donor's choice. Joe Brown, 76, of Oakwood, died at 7:53 a.m. Saturday, August 17th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral services were incomplete at Robinson Chapel of Catlin. Russell Robert Souza, 80, of Danville, passed away Wednesday, August 14th, after a short stay in the hospital finding an infection. A celebration of life service will be at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 20th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Philip Callahan. Visitation will be held just prior to the service from 4 to 6 p.m. at the funeral home. Robert Bob Weist, 84, of Danville, passed away at 9:55 p.m. Saturday at Hawthorne in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is handling the arrangements. There will be no local observance. Graveside services and burial will be at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time Tuesday, August 20th, in the Columbia Church Cemetery, Princeton, Indiana. Max Anderson, 70, of Danville, died at 3:12 p.m. Saturday, August 17th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville, Back to School by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DAC. Classes are beginning this month from preschool to college. My oldest granddaughter is in first grade this year, and I am reminded of how quickly time goes by as your little ones go from little to grown and out of the house. For many, time has gone just as quickly since they decided to take a break from education. Maybe now is the time to think about going back to school as an adult. Many options exist for adult learners that will fit into work schedules. Danville Area Community College offers traditional in-class daytime learning opportunities on campus at 2000 East Main Street in Danville. In addition, night classes are available on the main campus. If you live in the northern part of the college district, it may be easier for you to attend classes at the DAC Higher Learning Center at 847 East Orange Street in Hoopston. The Hoopston location offers a variety of credit and non-credit courses, including many of the general education required courses, medical terminology and medical ethics, computer courses, creative writing, and even beekeeping. This year, DAC is piloting a program offering night classes at Georgetown High School for students in the southern part of the district. This year, those classes include business computer systems, including Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Access, communication skills, developmental math and survey of statistics, rhetoric, and psychology. If a set schedule of in-person classes doesn't work for you at all, most of DAC's classes are also offered online, allowing you to work on your schoolwork whenever it is convenient for you. For those who are looking to finish their bachelor's degree, DAC offers 3+1 options in many courses of study through partner colleges, allowing students to take 3 years of classes through DAC and the fourth online. Even master's degree programs are available, offering online courses with support and tutoring locally. DAC provides programs for students still in high school to earn dual college and high school credit for some courses at participating schools. Students can also come to DAC's campus during the school day for College Express classes, focusing everything from culinary arts to computer-related classes to preparation to work in area industries. If finishing high school is your first step, DAC offers high school equivalency courses at various locations also. DAC regular fall semester courses start this week, but check with the registration and counseling offices at DAC, phone 217-443-3222 for what options might exist for late start classes and to begin planning for spring semester. Rediscover the joy of going back to school, no matter what your age. Carol Nichols is the Executive Director of the Illinois Small Business Development Center at DAC in Danville. She can be reached at 217-442-7232 or sbdc@dacc.edu. And there were a couple articles out of the News Gazette's Tom Kasich's mailbag that pertain to Danville, so we'll read those. One of the questions was, why is the work at Voorhees and Jackson in Danville stalled? And the answer is, Carl Carpenter, Danville's Director of Public Works, said the project delay is associated with utility lines and the utilities that control them. Once they address those issues, the project may be completed. Another question from his mailbag was, can the abandoned Danville to Farmer City rail line be turned into a trail? The answer is, it's a patchwork of abandoned and active rail lines that is going to take money and time to turn into any kind of a long-distance recreation trail. Even the section that is under public control, the Kickapoo Rail Trail between Urbana and Kickapoo State Park, is short of money to complete. The Norfolk Southern-owned rail line is still active, particularly around Champaign and Mahomet, which I would think would make it unlikely that it could be turned into a rail trail. Part of the western segment from Mansfield to Bloomington was eyed by former McLean County Administrator Bill Wasson as a possible rail trail, according to Champaign County Forest Preserve Executive Director Mary Ellen Wolner. But he retired, and Wolner said she doesn't know if that effort will resume. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said the city's focus is extending the western terminus of the Kickapoo Rail Trail from around Illinois 130 High Cross Road through the city to the intersection of Lincoln and University Avenues. We are working with the Regional Planning Commission, the Urbana Park District, and Champaign County Forest Preserve District to conduct a feasibility study for this section, she said. This study is funded by a grant from the Illinois Department of Transportation, $100,000, with a $25,000 matching grant from Carle Foundation Hospital. As for the segment in Vermilion County, for now the state's Department of Natural Resources ownership ends at the Vermilion County Fairgrounds, according to Wolner. On that map, it looks like the black line extends further east. Unfortunately, no agency has stepped up to claim an interest in negotiating for additional ownership into Danville. The city was working on it for a while, but it's outside their jurisdiction, so it would be up to the Vermilion County Conservation District, or IDNR. And we'll make our last article, the editorial from the paper, entitled Be a Responsible Pet Owner. Almost everyone loves puppies and kittens, sweet, playful, and cuddly. They can soften even the hardest heart. But far too many people don't think about all of the responsibilities of being a pet owner before bringing Spot or Tiger home with them. Puppies and kittens are adorable, and they can be expensive. Providing proper health care for pets can carry a hefty price tag at times. Some owners who can't afford such care surrender their animals to the nearest shelter, or worse, just dump them someplace to fend for themselves. The Vermilion County Animal Shelter on Catlin-Hilton Road, along with shelters in Danville, Tilton, and Hoopston, see too many animals come through their doors. The county reported handling 1,500 animals so far this year, an increase of almost 200 from the same period a year ago. Of those, 380 were given up by their owners, 426 were captured as strays, and 507 were found abandoned or were being held for court cases. The county shelter has seen 311 of those animals adopted, a number that's too low, with 184 returned to their owners, 422 sent to non-kill animal rescue organizations such as the Humane Society of Danville, Hoopston Animal Rescue Team, and Tilton Citizens for Animal Rescue and Adoption. And sadly, 200 had to be euthanized due to illness, aggression, or lack of Every pet owner can help stem this tide of unwanted animals by having their pets spayed or neutered. They can contribute to the foundations that support local shelters. And they can bring a pet into their home for the right reasons. Pets become family members. They're not accessories meant to make us look cute, trendy, or masculine. If you're thinking of adding a pet, be sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Be sure you're willing to commit the time and resources your animal will require. Those of us who do the right thing by our pets will thank you, and so will the animals who go to a proper home. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for August 19, 2019. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.